You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The streak is over. Long live the streak. On that relatively disappointing note, welcome in to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game podcast commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the official flagship of the team. The Rockets saw their 14-game winning streak snapped on Wednesday night against the LA Lakers. They're now 25-5 on the season through their first 30 games. It's their first loss since November 14th against the Raptors, more than a month of playing time. Because it's Wednesday, that means it's Draft Wednesday across this Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, if you download the Draft app or go to draft.com and use the promo code LORockets, all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit with that LORockets promo code. So as far as what happened, you certainly would not have predicted a loss to the Lakers, who are now just 11-18 on the season, to be where the Rockets streak ends at 14 games, but certainly there were some extenuating circumstances in this one. No Clint Capella, missed his second game of the last three with a heel injury. Chris Paul played 25 minutes, left early with a sore left leg. That's certainly a little bit ominous. We'll touch on that as the show goes along. James Harden, brilliant, 51 points, 15 of 27 in 43 minutes. It was the most explosive he's looked in, I would say, over a week, ever since the Portland game when he got kneed in the back of the calf in the final couple of minutes. He had the brilliant close against New Orleans, but really for the past 10 days, James has not looked himself. This was the first game that I thought James looked all the way back. That's encouraging. Unfortunately for the Rockets, everything else was a little bit discouraging, at least from the standpoint of overall team performance, certainly defense. Then you look at the injuries, no Clint Capella, no Chris Paul, and even at one point in the fourth quarter, after P.J. Tucker fouled out with 10 points and 10 rebounds in 35 minutes, Keith Jones was looking at his left leg as well. So certainly some injury concerns. The Rockets really only played seven players in this game. They gave Tarik Black a run in the first half, but he played 4 minutes, was minus seven in those 4 minutes, seemed to have some communication issues with James Harden in the pick and roll, and then never got a chance in the second half because by that point the Rockets were trailing by a lot and it wasn't really the time to experiment in Mike D'Antoni's eyes, and I certainly understand that. A lot of angles to break down. I'm going to start in our 3 points recap from the standpoint of the deficit that the Rockets dug them, which was 48-26 after the first 15 minutes of the game, because really I think that's what this all traces back to. Look, James Harden had 51, but he had 30 at the half. It took an incredible run just to get back almost even. The Rockets actually did take a lead by as much as 2 points in the second half. At one point between when the Lakers took that 48-26 lead and then the Rockets took a lead early in the third quarter, the Rockets went on a 39-16 run. Was a little bit reminiscent of what happened Monday against Utah, but the difference, that run on Monday happened to close the game. This run tonight happened during the game. And the problem, when you dig yourself that deep of a hole, even if you're good enough to get out of it, the problem is you expend so much energy having to come back from that huge mountain that when you get there, when you get even, you feel like you can exhale just a little bit, and all of a sudden, then the other team, it just seems like they have more energy than you do, particularly if you're the case of the Rockets, when you have a short rotation already in the absence of Clint Capella and Luke Bamute, and then you throw in the injury to Chris Paul on top of things. This was just very difficult for the Rockets. And to me, I think it goes all the way back to the start to the game. That's what I want to focus on. And I would really say, certainly Chris Paul was not as explosive as he's been in the past week. He was player of the week tonight, slowed by that sore leg, had just 8 points, 2 of 7 shooting in his 25 minutes. But more than that, I thought where the Rockets suffered tonight was just a lack of difference-making on both sides in the middle. And I said in my post-game recap after the Jazz game, Clint Capella was such a huge factor in that one because of the way he kept the Rockets afloat in the first three quarters. His effort, I believe he was at 19-14 through three, and when it seemed like the Jazz could have had a 10-15 point lead, it's not like the Rockets have been at their most crisp defensively the last couple of weeks, and we all know that. Perhaps the injuries, the lack of depth, certainly losing Luke Bamute has been a big factor in this, but whatever the reason, they haven't been at their most crisp, and on Monday, yeah, Monday could have been the end of things too, but I thought Clint's effort through the first three quarters on both ends, both defensively and offensively, kept the Rockets within striking distance before that run happened in the fourth, and at that point, they just ran away and hid. In this one, it didn't happen. Now, the Lakers are more athletic than the Jazz. Give the Lakers some credit, by the way. Kyle Kuzma had a career night, 38 points, 7 of 10 from 3. I think 6 of the 7 were in the first half. Corey Brewer went into this game, call it the Corey Brewer revenge game. Corey went in this game averaging 2.5 points a game. He scored 21 points on 7 of 9 shooting in 25 minutes. 5 rebounds, was plus 18. Thought his defense overall was fairly respectable as well. Shoot, even Andrew Bogut hit 2 free throws in the fourth quarter, swished them both when this game was still in striking distance for the Rockets. So tip your hat to the Lakers. They had a lot of flukish things happen, and no matter who they played, the Lakers, keep in mind, took the Warriors to overtime just 2 nights ago. So I know the Lakers have the most impressive record, but they're very athletic. They did do some good things. Give them some credit. But as far as this show, Locked On Rockets, we're a Rockets podcast. We're going to focus on what's within the Rockets' control. What can they do to get better? And to me, it's the start, 48-26. I don't care who you play. That shouldn't happen. And to me, the problem is what's going on in the middle. The Rockets essentially had 3 options tonight: Nene, Tarik Black, and Ryan Anderson in small ball lineups. And quite frankly, none of them worked. Nene started off, he played 26 minutes. Nene was actually plus 17 in those 26 minutes. The problem was, you could tell early on, the Rockets, against the length and athleticism of the Lakers, they did not really trust Nene defensively. I would say that into the floor, you know, Nene on Saturday, for example, had 16 points in 20 minutes in the first half. He did not play at all in the fourth quarter because Mike D'Antoni believed that Tarik Black had more energy and was a more positive contributor on the defensive end. Now, I'm not necessarily panicking about Nene. He's 35 years old, and we saw him get better as the season went along last year. By the playoffs, before his injury against San Antonio, he was a force. At the same time, you do have to at least be open to the concept that, hey, he's 35 years old. One of these years, there might be a little bit of a fall-off to where he's not just a clear difference maker as a backup center the way he was a year ago. I'm not going to say that in mid-December, but certainly you can see that Mike D'Antoni has some concerns, at least at this point in time, about what Nene brings to the court defensively, especially against teams like the Lakers that have so much athleticism and like to space. So if Nene can't play and Capella's out, who do you turn to? Well, they try to turn to Tarik Black, and certainly he brings you defense. Overall, his energy, his communication is good. The problem is that offensively, you can tell, especially in the pick and roll with James Harden, the chemistry is just not there. There have been a couple of times in recent games, including tonight, where you can see Harden getting visibly angry at Black for not making the right decisions on the pick and roll. Some of that comes from the lack of reps, but the problem is, how do you get him more reps? It's tough to play 3 centers on a regular basis, so if Capella and Nene are healthy, those guys typically get the run, and I think, you know, if one of those guys is out, you'd like to get Tarik Black more minutes, but for that to happen, you need to get a lead so that D'Antoni feels comfortable throwing a guy out there to get him some experience, and tonight that didn't happen. Too often on this homestand, even though the Rockets are 5-1, they haven't had the huge leads that you would like, and so even though Tarik Black, in theory, some of his limitations on offense, he brings you more defense than Nene, offensively, he's been sluggish. You'd like to think that with time, those could be ironed out a little bit, but as of late, it's tough for him to get that time. Maybe there are certain games you can rest Nene a little bit more once Capella gets back and see if you can sneak him some more minutes. But right now, I think that's a limitation. And then your third option, you go small ball with Ryan Anderson at the center spot. Well, all those lineups we talk about with Ryan Anderson as your stretch five, that kind of depends on Ryan Anderson being able to shoot. In the last 3 games, the last 3 games combined, Ryan Anderson has 2 points. So again, you know, you look at what he did on Saturday against San Antonio when he had 12 and 10, he hit the threes, his rebounding was there, especially in the offensive glass. That's great, but you've got, you know, it's challenging. I don't know how you do it, but the answer is to get him more involved on a regular basis, and certainly you want him to make threes, and that goes back into the home Ryan, road Ryan debate from last year, but I don't know what the secret is to get Ryan more active around the bucket on the offensive glass the way he was against San Antonio. I know he took that like a playoff game. You'd like to see that happen more often. It certainly can't every game, but none of these are back-to-back scenarios except for Saturday against the Bucks. These last 2, you're largely at home. You'd like to see a little bit more effort, both by him as well as the team, to get him going, because right now, Nene has his defensive limitations. Maybe those get better throughout the season as he rounds into form. He's 35 years old. I'm not naive enough to think that what you see in December from Nene is what you're going to see in April and May. But Tarik Black has his offensive limitations, and then you'd like Ryan Anderson to be your spacing guy, especially in a lineup against an athletic team like the Lakers, but he's not providing you that. So really, no matter where Mike D'Antoni turned, he was between a rock and a hard place. And when the Rockets are healthy, you could have those tuck wagon lineups with P.J. Tucker at center. Now, even then, you're undersized a little bit. We saw the Lakers, they're a very long team. Larry Nance off the bench had 13-9, and it seemed like he had he shot 5 of 6 from the field. It felt like all of his 5 makes were put-back dunks. So certainly you go undersized, you lose some rebounding presence. But even if the Rockets could play those P.J. Tucker tuck wagon lineups in the middle, then who's going to play the minutes at the 2, the 3, and the 4? Because without Luke Bamuta, and then now in the fourth quarter without Chris Paul, you're certainly limited there as well. So really where I think this starts, the Rockets just did not have any rim protection tonight. And even if they conceded from a defensive standpoint, said, hey, without Capella, with Tarek seeming off, well, we're going to play these offensive lineups. Well, all of a sudden, the offensive lineups did not really produce. And so because of that, it took until James Harden went into God mode, into MVP mode, for the Rockets to really get going. And by that point, they were down 22 points. And all of a sudden, to scale that mountain, I thought everybody, Harden, who played 43 minutes, Trevor Ariza, who played 45, Eric Gordon, 36 off the bench, PJ, 35, and fouled out. I thought there was just a cumulative energy toll that eventually caught up with the Rockets. And so when you analyze this game, certainly James was better, a lot of positives you can take out of it, but I would start with the beginning to the game. And as I look at the beginning of the game, where the problem was in this one is the lack of options in the middle. And with Clint Capella, some of this will get fixed when he comes back. Certainly 24-19 his last time out on Monday, that's great. But this is the second time in 3 games that Capella's missed a game with a heel injury. Clearly, it did not respond exactly as he hoped. That bruise did not go away after playing on it Monday. So my bet is they're going to be more cautious with it this time. D'Antoni said before the game, it's just until the bruise goes away. He said it could be 1 day, you know, 1 day, 3 days, 4 days. It doesn't sound like it'll be, you know, anything nearly as severe as Chris Paul back in October with that knee bruise. But nonetheless, even on a short-term basis, certainly the schedule is about to get a lot more difficult for the Rockets. The good news, they do have some more off days. After this Friday's game against the Clippers, they only have 1 game in the next 6 days, and that's the Christmas Day against Oklahoma City. So maybe the extra time off between games comes at a good time. But in addition to getting Clint Capella back, I think you're not going to rush him back into playing major minutes after he played 35 minutes and certainly didn't seem to respond as they would hope he did. So you're going to need to get some of those other guys going. The good news is that if Clint comes back, you don't need to get all of those guys going. You just need to get 1 or 2. But certainly, be it Nene getting more active defensively, Tarek Black getting it together in the pick and roll, Ryan Anderson seeing some shots go in the basket, no matter how he has to do it. I think those are the keys, because early on, it wasn't as if the Rockets were terrible in this game shooting. You know, you look at this game, you'd think the Rockets lost because they would shoot poorly from 3. Actually, they shot 17 of 42. They were 40% from behind the arc. They battled them even on rebounding. I just thought the lack of rim protection, the Lakers got to the rim too easily, and then because of that, they also got too many open threes. Lakers made almost 43% of theirs, and I think it starts with the Rockets just not having enough easy buckets offensively. Certainly Nene, just 4 points. He's not nearly the explosive player, the athlete that Clint is, and then defensively, you just didn't have that consistent shot-blocking presence, the rim protection, whatever it may be. And so that, to me, is the biggest reason why the Rockets got off to that slow start. Now, we'll talk more about the injuries in just a few moments, but for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome friends and sponsors over at the Draft app, because without their support, we would not be the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. And folks, even though the Rockets are off tomorrow night, it doesn't mean you can't watch basketball. Lots of nationally televised games. And folks, if you want to get in those games, the best way to do it, play some fantasy ball and win some money. Because folks, if you use the Draft app or go to draft.com, your chances are 80% better than when you use salary cap sites. That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy basketball site. You're not getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than a million people have also downloaded that Draft app. So folks, you can literally play in a real live draft right now. You can do it tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon. And whenever you do it, you can be done in literally under 5 minutes and you get paid out the next day. Drafts literally fill out every second, so you can join one whenever you want. And the best part of this deal is, folks, all of you, as my listeners here at Locked On Rockets, you get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit by using the promo code LORockets. That's right, you get to play in a real money draft for free. They actually give you a $3 credit just by using the promo code LORockets. Even better than that, Draft is so sure you will like it that they're offering Locked On Rockets listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. So folks, it's really that simple. Search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com. And you can come play free right now with the promo code LORockets. So as we jump back into the show, let's talk about the injuries. We've touched on them already. Certainly Luke Bamute, we know what that is. But Clint Capella, Chris Paul, that being the big one that we learned of tonight. The good news after the game, it's not the knee. It is the same left leg. but it's not the knee. It's a groin. It sounds like they call it an adductor strain, which obviously it varies depending on the severity. I'm cautiously optimistic, and I'm going to tell you guys why. I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't know if he'll play Friday. Mike D'Antoni said post-game he wasn't sure about that. But this isn't the first time. I actually noticed on Friday, it was very uncharacteristic, that game against the Spurs, that Chris Paul left the court early. That almost never happens in an NBA game. Certainly a statement game like that one. The Rockets never said anything about it afterward. They never listed him in the injury report. So I figured, you know, maybe there was something weird that we didn't know. Maybe it's just something nagging. And certainly he came back the two games after that, scored 25 points against the Bucks Saturday, including the dagger shots at the end, had the triple-double Monday night against the Jazz. I guess why I'm not as concerned about it, it's not like the knee injury against the Warriors where you could see limitations that were limiting his mobility. Now, certainly you could see a few of those on Wednesday night, but the point is, if this thing goes back to last week, and in my opinion it does, and it's not related to the knee, so it certainly doesn't go back months, but if it goes back last week, we have seen positive performances from Chris Paul since he started dealing with the injury. This is not something that just happened and all of a sudden is a particularly serious issue, and unless there was an instance in which he seriously re-aggravated it, I don't think the Rockets would let him go out there. Certainly, we saw the long-term view they had when they sat him out a month with something they thought he could play with on opening night. The Rockets get certainly the number one seed. It's a huge thing to shoot for, and they're still up a game with the tiebreaker on the Warriors, and it's not like the Warriors are all of a sudden just going to win every game. They almost lost to these same Lakers on Monday night. So I'm not going to assume that all of a sudden the Warriors are just going to win every game for the foreseeable future. They can certainly lose some games too. This is the NBA. There's lots of talented teams. Lakers beat the Rockets. They almost beat the Warriors the other night. But certainly the Rockets, they want that one seed, but I think they've shown already that they're not going to do it if it jeopardizes, go after the one seed to jeopardize their long-term playoff route to success. And that's why I don't buy this idea, really, that Chris Paul has had some sort of serious issue. They were just letting him play through with the streak, but now it's going to cost him a lot of time. No, I think it was a nagging thing, the type of thing that happens to a lot of NBA players over the course of an NBA season. It just, for whatever reason, it was a little bit tougher on Wednesday evening. It didn't go well for him, and especially with the team losing, better safe than sorry, he pulled himself out. Does that mean he's going to play Friday? I don't know, but I don't think this is going to be something, based on what I've seen at least, that cost him a lot of time, especially because you get through Friday, and even without Chris Paul, I would think the Rockets are likely favored home against the Clippers. Then you've only got one game at home, one game on the road, at Oklahoma City on Christmas night before you have a couple more days off until you get on that tough road trip back-to-back to Boston and Washington next Thursday and Friday. So there is a lot of time for Chris Paul to let that groin heal, and based on the fact that he's played very well through it the two games before this one, again, my theory, I think there was at least something there going back to the San Antonio game when he left early, which was very uncharacteristic if you watch NBA players, especially in an environment like that. It just doesn't feel as ominous as the one that we saw with the knee, and of course bone bruises with your knees are particularly problematic in the preseason. So it's certainly not good. It's something to, you know, keep your eye on. But to me, it feels more like the nagging Harden injuries from the past week or so. You know, the bump he had against the Blazers, the knee he took. Well, it wasn't a knee, but he got taken down and hurt his knee by Brandon Paul at the end of the San Antonio game. This Paul injury, from what I've seen, feels more comparable to that than it does the Chris Paul injury back in the preseason. I'm just not seeing that level of concern at this point in time. Again, I don't know if he's going to play Friday, but I think he's played well enough recently. It's not something that I would worry too much about. The other part of the injuries that I were to look at, I'm seeing a lot of people that are critical of Mike D'Antoni, and I think there's a confusion of, not necessarily confusion, I think there's a desire for something to blame other than just bad luck with this wave of injuries. Because yes, you've had three injuries lately, and Mike D'Antoni has gone to a shorter rotation, and so I'm seeing a lot of folks that are acting like there's a correlation there. And the reality, it's because of the injuries that Mike D'Antoni has gone to the short rotation. It's not his short rotation that caused these injuries. I want to make that clear. Luke Bamute was playing 25 minutes a night, certainly not overextended. He hurt his shoulder on just a fluke dunk in which he came down awkwardly. Clint Capella this month has been playing 24 minutes a game. Actually, when he got hurt with the bruised heel, which was after the San Antonio game, his minutes per game average was 22. It's not like he was overextended at all. Chris Paul this month is playing 34 minutes per game, just barely above that. None of these injuries happen because of the short rotation, and I also don't see, when you look at the limited opportunities that the guys on the end of the bench have gotten when they've gotten run, you look at the negative plus-minus differential for Tarik Black the last couple of games, you look at how many points the Bobby Brown, Joe Chi lineups have given up at the end of games, it's not like you're seeing any basketball reason to put those guys in there, and the guys that have been overextended, Trevor Ariza, you know, he was 6-14 tonight, 18 points and 11 rebounds. James Harden, I wouldn't necessarily say Harden has been overextended from a minutes standpoint. The Rockets actually have done a better job managing his minutes this year. Now, he did play 43 tonight, and that's because the Rockets tonight got absurdly shorthanded. But in general, Harden's minutes this year are below 36 per game. That's the fewest minutes per game that Harden has played in Houston. It's just, you know, you play the style that Harden did. He got kneed in the back of the calf the last minute or so in Portland. The second injury got taken down on just a brutal takedown by Brandon Paul. I can't believe that wasn't a flagrant. It's not like he was overextended. It's not like these are just random, you know, he's going up the floor and inexplicably his hamstring goes out or, you know, he falls down with back spasms. These are not maintenance injuries. These are just flukish things that happen over the course of 82 games. When you look at the injuries, it's not like any of these guys are dramatically overextended that are going down. It's just stuff that happens over the course of an NBA season, and sometimes it's unfortunate and happens all at once. And is it significant? Yes, it is. The Rockets need Chris Paul back because when he's healthy, he's a top 10 player in the league. That's why he's the reigning Western Conference Player of the Week. They need Clint Capella healthy because he's by far their best combination offense and defense player in the middle that they can turn to. He had 24-19 Monday. He's really good. Chris Paul and Clint Capella have consistently been the second and third best players on this team for most of the season. All of that is fine and good to worry about. What I don't agree with is pointing the finger at Mike D'Antoni and acting like this is self-inflicted. No, this happens to everyone over the course of an NBA season. Look at the Warriors, who are without Draymond Green with a shoulder, without Stephen Curry with an ankle. Is that Steve Kerr's fault? No, this stuff happens, and it's frustrating. The Rockets, you know, they're 25-5. You'd like to be better than the Lakers team at 11-18, but you know what? They're a professional team who also went out and a lot of those guys had the game of their lives shooting. Certainly Kyle Kuzma and Corey Brewer did. So sometimes you need to tip your hat and sometimes you need to accept that it's just a little bit of bad luck for you, which it was for the Rockets. And again, is it something to monitor going forward? Absolutely. I'm not downplaying the impact. The status of Chris Paul and Clint Capella is a big deal, as is when Luke Bamute can return. The Rockets right now are running on fumes. You do need to monitor that in the days ahead. What I don't agree with is causation and, you know, sitting here and blaming it on the usage of the rotation. I also don't believe in making an assumption in the case of Chris Paul, because as long as it's not the knee injury and Noah Groen is not a knee, it's incredibly minor. Lots of guys have nagging groin injuries that they play through. Now, others can be, you know, linger for weeks. It depends on the severity. My guess, based on the Rockets letting Chris Paul play the last couple of games before this one with an injury that, in my opinion, first started to show up at the end of that Spurs game, by the Rockets letting him play through it, by Chris playing relatively well, my guess is that Chris is at the less severe end of the scale, and this is more of a day-to-day rather than a week-to-week. And certainly I don't think the comparisons to his knee injury, although it's the same leg, these are two entirely different body parts, I don't really think there's any sort of correlation there. So that's my take on the injury side of things. Final point of our 3 points recap. I focused a lot about what the Rockets didn't do, because you lose at home to the Lakers, a team that you're better than, and you suffer an injury to Chris Paul. You have Clint Capella, who's been playing, at least on a deficiency basis, at a fringe all-star level. Those are real concerns. And then you look at the lack of any production towards the rim. Yes, those are things to monitor. The trend started, I would say, on Monday and then culminated tonight with Clint Capella not really there to clean up some of the miscues. But folks, James Harden, what a game. I know it came at a loss, but yes, it's meaningful to see James. 51 points, 9 assists, 15 of 27 shooting. Yes, he had the 6 turnovers, although 4 came in the first quarter. He cleaned that up as the game went along. Certainly there were some fatigue issues. Now, he did get it going again late in the fourth, but ultimately by then the Rockets had a little bit too much of a deficit. Rockets got it close, made it a little interesting in the final minute, got it down six with the ball, but never quite enough to go over the hump. But to see James get going like he did, 51 points. In the second quarter, he had 24 points, second most points in a quarter by any Rocket in franchise history. Only Vernon Maxwell with 30 in a quarter had more. That's phenomenal explosiveness. And again, it didn't just come when the game was over. The Lakers were up by 22, and Harden going MVP mode, showing why he's the MVP frontrunner of this league, is why the Rockets were able to go on a 39-16 run in the next 12 minutes to take the lead. Now, I didn't finish the deal. I get that. And so, you know, is it something... You don't want to be over the moon about anyone's stats in a loss. I get that, especially when you're the Rockets and you know how important that number one seed is if you can get it. It's a big deal for the Rockets' chances. I understand all that. They're better than the Lakers. There are no excuses. However, an 82-game grind, there are trends. And sometimes, even in a win, you can see signs of potential problems. I would say we could see that starting Milwaukee and Utah the last two games. Even though the Rockets won, there were certain periods of being lethargic. Maybe the injuries were catching up to them. Also, some defensive issues, I would say, the last five or so games. Even though the Rockets were winning, you could see some ominous signs that if they didn't correct, might be foreboding down the road. And certainly they were tonight, sort of the perfect storm, I would say. The flip side is this. Sometimes in losses, even disappointing losses, you can see trends that bode really well. The last four games going into this one, James Harden shot just 35.9% from the field and 30% from three. Sure, he scored 26.5 points a game, but he was only at 6.3 assists, again, below 36% from the field and clearly limited by injury, just nowhere near as explosive. The old James Harden was back tonight. He was as explosive as ever. It wasn't just that he was making shots. He was 4 of 6 from 3. What that tells you is that 21 of James Harden's 27 field goals were from inside the arc. That's how much spring he had. That's how much he was driving to the basket. Also got fouled 21, well, not fouled 21 times, got to the line for 21 free throws. So 21 shots inside the three-point arc and 21 free throws. That shows you how aggressive James Harden was. That's the best he has moved in weeks. And folks, that bodes really well, especially if Chris Paul, I don't know if Chris Paul's going to miss a lot of time, but maybe he's not quite as explosive as he's been when he's Western Conference Player of the Week. We had Chris Paul picking up James. Well, now it's time for James to do maybe what he did the first month of the season when his numbers were just out of this world. Now, again, if Chris Paul's out, even if James Harden does this, if there's no Chris Paul and you're not getting contributions from the rest of the team, you're probably not going to win games. It's just tough to make the math add up. But all of a sudden, if you get this version of James Harden, Eric Gordon still shot relatively well, 5 of 12 from behind the arc, 21 points in his 36 minutes. If you get this version of James Harden and then Clint Capella comes back, if and when Ryan Anderson ever starts making shots again and then slowly bring Chris Paul back from this injury, that's when the Rockets can get truly efficient, back to the team they were when they're just dominating teams, like last Friday against the Spurs, when they got out to that 28-point lead midway through the second quarter. That's when the Rockets are humming and at their best. And even that one, Harden was playing, I would say, on adrenaline, before, because the injury happened in the fourth quarter. So I would say Harden, even though he didn't shoot well, was relatively explosive in the Spurs game, most he had been in that week. But then especially, you go back to the Rockets before the homestand, like that dominant close in Portland, the second half in Utah, that road trip, that last Lakers game in Los Angeles, when the Rockets were on the road, that's when the Rockets were truly dominant. And that was with James Harden, the MVP version, the guy that tonight shot almost 60% from the field and made two-thirds of his threes. That's the James Harden we had early this year, plus 4 in his 43 minutes. Even given the Rockets lost, James Harden had a positive plus-minus. It almost felt like with all the injuries, it was, you know, reminiscent of the early season when the Rockets were struggling to make those minutes work without James Harden because you didn't have the normal Chris Paul leading that second unit. So that second unit did not have anywhere near the overall level of efficiency as reflected by Chris Paul's minus 16 in his 25 minutes. But folks, if you get this version of James Harden, the Rockets have too much talent elsewhere to struggle for long. This game was almost the perfect storm in terms of no Clint Capella, Chris Paul limited and then basically didn't play in the fourth quarter, Ryan Anderson can't throw it in the ocean, the Lakers, Kyle Kuzma, 12 of 17, 7 of 10 from 3. I don't care what the defense is. Can you be better? Sure, but it's tough to do that against air. That's the game of his career. Corey Brewer, a guy averaging 2.5 points per game, 21 points, 7 of 9 off the bench. That's incredible efficiency, and you tip your hat. But there's a lot of flukish things that had to happen for the Rockets, with James Harden playing like he did, to lose. And still, the game was almost there for the taking in the final minute. If James Harden continues that level of efficiency, as much as this loss stings, the Rockets are going to be just fine, in my opinion, in the days ahead. That's about the best silver lining I can come up with. I know some of you guys love me for that, so that's my attempt at it. Certainly, I'm not willing to overlook the injuries. They're significant. I would say tomorrow, if and when the Rockets practice, stay tuned for updates from there. We'll see what happens with Chris Paul's availability. Same with Clint Capella. I don't think the Rockets are going to rush either back. They're going to take a big picture view, but certainly those are the storylines to watch in the days ahead. So if you want updates from me on Twitter about that, you can follow me at Ben Dubose for updates during the day tomorrow, or you can follow the show at Locked On Rockets, or you can be at our website, LockedOnRockets.com. We have stories going up throughout the day. We're on the Clint Capella story today. I'm sure we'll be on Chris Paul tomorrow, and that's the best way to stay tuned to what we are doing in between episodes. Also, don't forget to email us, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, or inquiries about how to become a potential sponsor, just as our friends at the Draft app were today. Remember, go to draft.com or download that Draft app and then use the promo code LORockets, and all new players get a free entry into a real money draft. You get a $3 ticket. And folks, the folks of the Draft app, they're so confident you'll like it that they're literally offering Locked On Rockets listeners a money back guarantee of up to $100 if you try their services. That's how confident they are that you're going to like it. And folks, if you want something to get in on tomorrow night, since the Rockets aren't playing, then yeah, it's a great time to play fantasy hoops over at the Draft app or at draft.com. I think we're going to have one more show tomorrow trying to line up an interview. And then Friday, of course, the Rockets close out this 7-game homestand, 5-1. I know it feels disappointing now, but folks, they're 25-5. It's a 5-1 homestand. It's still been pretty damn good. But yeah, they'll close it out Friday night against the Clippers. Even though Pat Beverly will not be playing due to injury, they'll have a tribute video. It's Pat's first time back to Houston. I would assume that he's going to be on the sideline, even though he won't be playing for the Clippers. So there'll be a lot to look forward to in the coming days. And of course, we'll be covering it for you right here at Locked On Rockets. Until then, folks, I hope you have a good evening, or as best an evening you can after the win streak for the Rockets ends at 14. Once again, the final from Toyota Center, Lakers 122, Rockets 116. Rockets now 25-5 on the season through their first 30 games, and back in action Friday night against the Clippers. Until then, have a good one, folks, and I'll be talking with you again very soon right here at Locked On Rockets.